I believe you. Well, last week we talked about sharing salvation with others.
Well, I noticed that, are these seats down here more expensive than you back there? Must be. I feel like I'm not balanced this morning. But then I've been unbalanced for a long time anyway, so. But last week we talked about sharing salvation. Give you a few tips on maybe how you can do that in a better way. There's a little sheet out there on the table out there in the back with some scriptures that I use, the 7 points. So if those are free, those don't cost anything extra either. Those are not near as expensive as these seats up there in front. It's kind of started looking like a Texas Rangers baseball game. I'm a Rangers fan. It's been painful the last couple of years, but anyway. So today we're going to talk about a little follow-up, I guess, on that lesson. What can I do? So what can I do? Well, before we get into there, how many know Russ? Hey, Russ is a pretty good guy. Doris and I were over at Brenda's the other day eating a breakfast, actually a brunch. We walked in and Russ was there with two or three other real handsome guys, and a couple of them we had met about a week before, and on the way out, they got finished before we did. Russ was nice enough to buy our breakfast, buy our meals, and I thought that was really nice, a really generous gift, you know, just to show what a super guy he is. And I thought, and I told him, I said, well, if I'd have known you were going to do that, I'd have ordered a lot more. But appreciate Russ and all the men here at the church. So let me ask you a couple of questions or picture in your mind. Big car, nice big sedan, you know, late model, air conditioned, tinted windows, DVD players and all the bells and whistles. And it's, you know, maybe sell for $60,000-$70,000. You get one little nail in the tire. So how far are you going to go? What's that going to do to that big expensive car? Stop it dead in its tracks, right? One thing, you got to get that flat tire fixed before you can go anywhere. Or, how many of you ever had a really sore thumb or a big toe? You ever had sore thumbs or big toes? Ingrown thumbnails? I've had a big grown toenail before on a big toe. You don't realize how much you use different parts of your body until you can't use it. When you're walking around, sometimes just stop and think, how much do you use a big toe for balance, right? Until you can't use it, if that big toe is really sore anyway. I mean, how many things do you do with your thumbs? Well, holding a pen or a pencil, for one. And lots of things. Opening a toothpaste, clipping your fingernails. I've got a left thumb that they x-rayed 2 or 3 years ago, and I've got some bone spurs in there, and the hand doctor there in Fort Worth, Texas, said, it's a simple surgery, but we can fix that. Well, if it's on me, it's not going to be a simple surgery. It's going to be major. You know, minor surgeries is what they do on Mark. Major surgery is what they do on me. And so it's gotten to the point that it's hard for me to trim my fingernails on my right hand because it's hard to push down that silly fingernail finger. You know what I mean? So thumbs can be a big deal. Suppose you have a football team that has a quarterback that fumbles a lot. Everybody else is doing a good job. Everybody else is doing good. The linemen are doing a good job blocking and opening up gaps for the running backs. The receivers are running good routes. The quarterback, about half the time, he fumbles the ball. Is the team going to be very successful? part of my life in Denver. I've been a Bronco fan all my life. A Bronco fan in Texas. Sometimes, you know, I get some abuse. But then I just remind them how many times the Broncos have been to the playoffs the last 20 years compared to the Cowboys. But anyway, won't go there. So that's a problem. Everybody else is doing their job, but one guy. Most of you may know, or I think if you don't, I'm a retired band director, high school band director in Texas, 34 years. And sometimes that was abuse. That was a lot of Friday nights. But anyway, because football and marching bands are big in Texas. The marching band, I've had times in the past where maybe one section of the band, maybe the trumpets one year, the percussion another year, the trombones, you know, were not as strong as they needed to be. And that was something that we really had to work on because it would affect how well the band sounded, whether it's a marching band, or a concert band, or a jazz band, whatever, we did it all. So if there were certain things, certain parts of the band that weren't very good, I either had to pick music that if they weren't very good, you wouldn't notice it, or we just had to work harder to make that section better. So, I'm going to try with the clicker today. I don't do this all the time, I'm sure you probably noticed. But what does the Bible say about different jobs, responsibilities? The Bible may call it in a couple of places spiritual gifts. Gifts that we have. I don't want you to think of it being limited to just the typical jobs that for instance, men do. Serving the table, leading singing, teaching a class, giving the Devo, even making like hospital visits, and then leading a prayer while you're there for that person, before you leave.
I'm reminded of the story about serving the table.
Church secretary one day, the phone rings, such and such Church of Christ. To help you, this is Melody, whatever. Yeah, the voice on the other end, Crystal may have gotten one of these calls. Desiree, you may get one sooner or later. Someone calls and asks, I have a question about your church service, your church. Okay. Do you allow women to serve the Lord's table, to serve the Lord's supper? And the secretary said, no. She said, men serve that meal. And she said, I might add, that's the only meal around here that men serve. So there's lots of different things that we can do, lots of different gifts. So we'll move on. We're going to be in Romans. Where do I click? There it is. Paul's letter to the Romans had a dual purpose. He was introducing himself in the very beginning. He was writing to the church of Rome. And they had some issues. That's why Paul was writing to them. And to deal with the problems of the church. So in Romans chapter 12, let's look at the first five verses. He says, therefore I urge you, brothers, that's my emphasis on that word, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. You've probably seen this scripture a lot. We're going to look at it again. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So let's look at that for just a minute. Offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's almost a contradiction in terms, isn't it? Throughout the Old Testament days, sacrifices were given. We read through Leviticus, times, what was always involved with a sacrifice? It was death, it was blood. It was a blood offering, and death was usually. So we see this thing from Paul, and he says, you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Well, we're always giving something up, are we not, with the sacrifice? He says, your true and proper worship. And he says, don't conform to the patterns of this world. So when we talk about the term world, we're looking at what? What unbelievers are doing, what unbelievers are involved in, the temptations that Satan has, the part of the world that Satan is in charge of, the part that he rules over. So how's the Christian to be different from unbelieving people? Look at verse 2. It says, like I said, don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be, here's the T word that the New Testament uses, be transformed. And what does transformed mean? Changed. We need to be different. We need to maybe not look different, because there's some of us, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. I mean, you know, look at me. What you see is what you get. But we need to be transformed in the things that we do, the things that we say, the things that the people that we are around. So when you hear the T word from the New Testament, it is transformed. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Verses 4 and 5. What did Paul use the human body to illustrate? There it is. For grace is given me, I say to every one of you, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Here we go. Verse 4, what did Paul use the human body to illustrate? But just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. The trumpets have a line to play in the band, the trombones, the flutes and clarinets, the percussion, the quarterback's got a job to do, the center's got a job to do. For just as each one of us in the body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. There are many of us in here in the room today. We have different things that we can do. Strengths, weaknesses. If every one of us had the same gift, the same ability, there would be a lot of stuff that wouldn't get done. Amen? Amen. Thank you. It's okay to say amen if you hear something good. It's okay to say amen. We're going to pray for you, brother, if you hear something that's not so good. So each one of us have a different thing to do. So remember the title of the lesson today, what can I do? Well, we're going to get there. We'll see what we can do. Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. He says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, let him prophesy. In accordance with your faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's to encourage, then give him encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You see those? Some of those may be a little scary. Some of those may say, I'm not going to prophesy anything. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a teacher. Well, maybe you are a teacher. If you're here in our Sunday school class this morning, and we went to James chapter 3 about taming the tongue, James talked about teachers being held to a higher standard. How many of you, I'm going to ask the same question I asked in class. How many are parents? I believe you're a teacher. If you're not, how are your kids going to end up? They're going to follow whoever is the strongest influence in their life. Amen? We are going to follow whatever is the strongest influence in our life.
There's lots of things that we can do. Every one of us can be an encourager. Making hospital visit, calling on someone who hadn't been here in a while. We can call them and say, just want to know that we missed you today. Everything okay? You don't have to have a master's degree in theology to do that. Every one of us can do that. If it's giving, then give generously. Does the Bible talk about giving? Is it that 10% that's mentioned in the Old Testament? Well, that was an Old Testament model. The New Testament says, give as we are prospered. Whatever we feel like we can do. Because you can't outgive God, right? Okay, so if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So on and so forth. Okay, so verses 4 through 6, what makes Christians the same or different from one another? We have different gifts. We all have the same faith. One God, one Lord. And then we talked about using our gifts. Now there's a similar passage in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And again from the NIV, which is of course next to the King James, the only authorized version of the scripture. No, I'm kidding now. I like the NIV, but anyway. As a prisoner for the Lord, Paul is speaking to the church in Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was a big city, a very hustling and bustling environment there. It was a commerce center there in the first century. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, because why did he say that? He was in jail, right? I urge you to live a life, I like this phrase, worthy of the calling. Worthy of the calling. That gives me a guilt complex sometimes. Because there's a lot of times that I have not been worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Here's some good part here. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There's a mouthful right there. There's a lot of teaching right there in just those six verses. So to serve Christ, the church, must maintain a sense of unity. If we're all going our separate ways and we're saying, I like this, but I don't like that, and I want to do this more, I want to do that less, but I like this teacher more than that teacher, what's that doing? Is it pulling you apart or putting you closer together? It's pulling you apart. Well, how was the audience today? Well, how are we today? We're the audience, right? No, that's a trick question. We're not the audience. We are here because God, I believe, is the audience. That part that was made real clear to us at our church 2 or 3 years ago when we had Keith Lancaster come and do a singing workshop for our congregation in Granbury. He mentioned, he says, fast song, slow song, some guys lead it too high, some guys lead it too low. Well, it doesn't matter. What we want really doesn't matter. As long as it's scriptural, as long as we're here to what? To worship God. Because God is the audience. Amen? Amen. Okay, so this is one of those lessons I can get through in 10 minutes or I could use an hour and a half. I'll try to get somewhere in the middle there, okay? Our commitment to one Lord, the church, made because of our belief, repentance, and baptism, should lead to unity despite temptations to divide. All right, let's look at another one here. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors and teachers to equip, my emphasis there on that word, his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So what does that say? What did Christ do? Was he a teacher? Was he training people? And for why was he training them? To equip them to go out, because what was his great commission? Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Okay, so God's gift to the church and the church is a term that means us. So God's gift to us is what? Us. God gave us to us so that we can help equip each other, we can encourage each other, we can forgive each other, we can bond together in unity with each other. We have given abilities to fulfill a variety of duties so the church can be and do what God intends it to be and do. All Christians don't have the same calling. I mentioned that. But all Christians are called to use their own gifts in ministry. I hope I have made that fairly clear with the scriptures that we've looked at today. All Christians are called to use their own gifts in ministry. So, well, that's the end of that one. So in Christ, we through many form one body, and each member belong to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. So here's the bottom line. Who prepares, in other words, a few ideas? If you're one of the ones that says, I don't really have any special gifts, really any, okay, guess what? I bet you're going to find something. Who prepares meals for the church? At church potlucks, or funerals, or getting food together to send to someone who just got out of the hospital? Anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. Who takes care of the outside grounds around the church? Who mows, weed eats? You know, anybody can do that. Door greeters. This is a tough one. Stand there at the door and say, good morning. Good to see you, Melanie. Glad you're here. Encouragers, talked about that. I don't know if the church here has someone other than, oh, well, that's the church secretary's job to send out those little cards that contact the visitors that come. Really? Okay. Crystal's probably done it. Desiree may be getting ready to do it. But is it restricted to just that? No. Contacting visitors. We have been to Maine and back twice and been in a bunch of churches. And about half of them, we got a little card after we filled out the visitor card. It says, we're glad you're here. Thanks for visiting with us. Come back anytime you're in the area. It's not a long letter. Just a quick little, we noticed you were here. We noticed you were here. Pray for special requests. How many get the church texts that come out from either Crystal or now Desiree with prayer requests? This may be one of those questions where you're saying, okay, you went from preaching to meddling, but do you actually pray for that person then? The easiest way to do it is say a quick prayer when you read that. That's what I try to do. I'm not always successful. I'm not the world's greatest. But it doesn't have to be a long one either. Just a special little prayer when you read that prayer request. Don't wait till later because you'll forget about it if you're like me. And I have to give my wife a little shout out today. She has probably one of the softest hearts for elderly and any people with special needs. She had one sister who was a special needs person. And probably because of that, and she's gone now, but helped Doris have that soft heart for elderly people or anyone with a special need. So Romans 12, 5 and 6, different gifts according to the grace God gave us. We all have different gifts according to the grace God gave us. So there's the bottom line right there, friend of mine. Find your niche. I hope I've made it so that you realize just walking in and out the door on Sunday morning, that will please God, yes. The fact that we're here. But it will please Him even more if He sees His people coming together in unity and doing things that will advance the kingdom. Does that make sense? There's something that we can do. Find your niche. Kirk is going to lead an invitation song today. This was the Kirk and Kirk show today, I guess. If you have a need of any kind, if you have a prayer request that you would like to make, if you have a praise that you want to say, we've had a great week, we've got a thing that happened in our family that we prayed about, and that the church prayed about, and I just want you to know things are better, feel free to come. If you'd like to say, I don't know much about this Christian stuff, and I would like to learn more about it. I would like to become a Christian. I'd like to study about being baptized. I would like to learn more about what God expects from me. Feel free to come forward. Let's all stand.